Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
You guys just put your hands out and just bow your heads. God, the power of your name, the mention of your name drives things away. God, the mention and the power of your son's name delivers people, God. And we just, God, I want to stay in this moment and worship that name. The name that saved my life. The name that delivered me from the sin. The name that when I speak it, God, it brings power. And God, I just want to thank you that with that name, I can stand in victory in this life. That in this name, I can stand in honor in front of you and worship you and thank you, God. So this time of worship, as we honor your name, we just thank you. God, with all the power and all the glory that comes with that name, you reached down and picked us up and said you belong. And that I love you. God, I thank you for that. God, we thank you for this time, and we pray all these things in your name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. Well, good evening, how's everybody doing? Wednesday night, midweek, here we go. Everybody's alive, plenty of life, ready? I like to get loud, I like to get active. We might take a couple laps. Everybody ready? A couple of you looked at me like, you're crazy. Well, we're going to talk about challenging God tonight. I'm excited to talk about this. God has been doing a lot in my life, personally, in the last couple months. And I thought, you know, God challenges me all the time. He challenges me in my faith, but have I ever challenged God? And I thought, you know, how fun would that be to challenge God? And when you think about challenging God, you're thinking about a contest, or you're thinking about, I'm talking about challenging God and letting him change your life. And when I think about challenging God, I think about how he, out of all things, says I can do all of this stuff, but then do I ever really do it? And have I ever really done it? Have I ever taken his word exactly like it is? So we're just, this is what I wanted to do, is I wanted to challenge God tonight with you guys and say, listen, what if we challenge God on everything that he said? What would our lives be like? What would this world be like? So the very first point that we're going to start off is, we're going to be challenging God's word. I want to read this scripture with you from Hebrews 4, 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
All right, I told you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, so it's living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God does that. And it made me think that in my quiet times and the times I pick up the word and the times I study, am I letting it do that? Am I letting it be living and active? Or has it become something that just is the word? It's just a piece of paper with words on it, and I say, okay, that's God. I read this, and that's who God is to me. There's the thing. I'm going to ask this question. You don't have to raise your hand. Do you believe in God? All right. Do you live like you believe in God? Because we struggle with that. Let me tell you, there's a difference between believing and living. Now, let me, short story for you. I'm tall, if you can't tell, and I'm scared of heights. It's one of those things where you look at God and go, God, you're the only one that could have done that. Made me this big and then scared of heights. But then my wife, she went skydiving with friends. And I thought, okay, that's crazy. And she tells me the story, they're in the plane and they're getting to the end and they scoot her forward and like you're at the edge of the plane and you're looking out and you're like, I don't want to, and all of a sudden the guy just jumps because you're strapped and there's no choice, you're going. And my wife, she goes, no, it was really fun. And I was like, oh, I believe it. I ain't going to live that. Don't we do that with our Christianity sometimes? Oh, I believe it, but I'm not going to live it. I also put it to this, I believe that the greatest cheeseburger ever made is a double bacon cheeseburger. And I live it because I've tasted it and I've cried. And said, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten. But the reason I can say I believe it is because I lived it and I experienced it. With our relationship with God, when it comes to the Word of God, are we believing it and living it? Because when I say I believe the Word of God, then hopefully I've read the Word of God. And if I've read the Word of God, it says to be this person. If I read the Word of God and know the Word of God, then I've got to live the Word of God. Or am I selling God a little short? There's two things I think we have to overcome when it comes to living the Word of God. The first one is we have lazy faith. We're lazy. We read the Word and go, okay, God, that's what you gave me. I'm going to go about my week, or I've gone to church, or I've been in small group, or I've heard something on the radio, or I heard my song, or I got my Jesus for the day. We get lazy, and we expect it to be given to us. And then all of a sudden, you know, that volunteer comes, who wants to volunteer to go on outreach? And you're like, well, you know, if you can't see my hand, it's down. Jesus, I'd do it. It's right down here. You're not living it. So we get lazy and we say, well, someone else is going to do it, or God's going to do that for me, or God's going to bring that word to me, or God's going to do this and God's going to do that. Listen, how many of you have kids? Anybody seen a kid before? All right, so every hand should have gone up, all right? Parents, let me ask you something. When you got your kids and you ask them to clean their room and they don't do it, do you just go do it for them? So there's some parents that are like, yeah, there's a class for that. No, you don't. You get on them. You say, go do it. Go do it. You get grounded. There's punishment. You get on your kids and you say, you got to go do this. God doesn't do that. Sometimes he'll give you what I like to call the gentle nudge, where he kind of slaps you upside the face. You're like, oh, I get it. But we get lazy and we expect God to do it all for us. But then the second thing is, we have a disappointed faith. We've done it. We've lived it. We've prayed it. We've been active, we've done things, but something happens that we're like, you know what, God, that wasn't what I expected, and you get disappointed. And it becomes harder to pray. It becomes harder to read the Word. It becomes harder to be involved in your life with God because you're disappointed. Something didn't live up to an expectation, or something didn't go the way you wanted. All of a sudden, you're disappointed in God's Word, and you just sit there and go, you know what, I've done it. But what has it done for me? And when we get disappointed, sometimes that is one of the hardest things to get over, is being disappointed in God. Because we have these set expectations of what God is supposed to be. And when it comes to the Word of God, let me tell you, when it says it's living and active, take that to heart when you're disappointed. That when you read these things, maybe it's not happening at that time for you, but let me tell you, it's moving. It's going to happen. Something's going to move. Something's going to happen. And God's timing, there's going to be something, but the disappointment of faith can be a crusher. And there are probably some of you in here tonight that are disappointed in your faith. And it's something that's left a scar. And God's Word can heal that. Let's go to the next scripture in 2 Timothy. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every work. The Word of God is to equip you. To prepare you for the disappointments, prepare you for the times of laziness. It's there to prepare you for these things. It's there to teach you. It's not there to entertain you. Listen, we sometimes get in the Bible and we want to read these Bible stories and be entertained, and after 20 minutes of reading, be like, ah, you know, that was a good story. The Bible is not just a storybook to entertain you. It's a book to change your life and let God do something in you. And if you don't pick up that book and let God speak to you every day, you're going to get lazy, you're going to get disappointed, and you're going to miss the greatness that God has from the Word. The Word of God is not a book of stories to entertain. It's a book to encourage and to teach you. Listen, to stand here, I'm working on my master's right now, and that's the hard, that's so much reading. Let me tell you, I hate to read. And then God put me in a place where I got to read every day, and I was like, only you, Jesus. But I've learned to read, and I've learned to love it, and I've learned to enjoy it. I'm doing all these things, and I'm finding myself growing. Yep. And I'm finding myself saying, you know what? I can do more than this. Yep. I'm finding myself saying, you know what? I understand who God is, and I want my life to change. But then it motivates me because I want to let other people know what God's doing, and I want their lives to be changed. Because I don't want to be the only person reading the Bible. I want every person in the world reading the Bible. And if I don't know it, and I don't read it, and I don't live it, then what am I supposed to do when I tell people I believe it? Someone came up to you today and said, are you a Christian? They said, yeah. Would you be able to say that I live it out too? That's how I live. I live by the word of God. For some of us, it's a check that says, you know what? Maybe not right now. Maybe I'm not living that way. And I got to challenge God and say, God, I got to get in your word, and I got to challenge your word. And it says, I can do all things through Christ. Okay, if I can do all things, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to live that way. I'm going to take his word literally. I'm going to challenge God's word to be true. Let me tell you, when you do that, it's true, and you don't fall down, and it doesn't fail you. The same way Jesus didn't fail us on the cross is the same way the Bible does not fail us when it comes to challenging God's word. The next thing is we got to challenge God with faith. It says right there in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. It's pretty simple. Have faith. What does it mean to have faith? For a lot of us, we struggle and say, well, what is it to have faith in God? How do I have faith in God? Well, do you have faith you're going to breathe every day? You're going to have faith that you're going to take a step forward, you're not going to fall over? Do you have faith that Tim Tebow might bring us an actual win this year? I know a lot of people do. You hear it at the stadium chanting Tebow, and he's never even played a game. They have faith. But he hasn't done anything. Is our faith in God that way? Always be ready to act in faith. I like that Scott Applegate, Pastor Scott, said a couple weeks ago, you go until you get a no. Always be ready to act in faith. We have a small group in the high school group that goes down every other Tuesday night and does street ministry and passes out to the homeless people. And I'm not going to lie, it's intimidating for me just for any of those kids. You walk up, you see someone in need down the road, and you start going, okay, are they gonna lock eyes with me? Okay, they did. Okay, I'm going to have to go pray for them now because I'm carrying a sack lunch. They kind of know what I'm doing. And I start going, and all of a sudden, I got three kids that go past me and go meet this guy. And they say, what's your name? How can I serve you? Here, do you want a sandwich? Do you want an orange? Do you want a banana? Do you want something to drink? Do you want this? And these kids act in faith like that. Then they say, you know what? Can I pray for you? I said, well, yeah. The guy's like, well, I don't have anything to pray for. They're like, well, do you need anything? So, okay, we'll pray for that. And these three kids lay hands on this guy, and they just start praying. The moment they saw a need, they acted in faith. They didn't know if this guy wanted him. They didn't know if this guy was going to reject him. They didn't know what that guy was going to say. I've seen these kids get cussed out. I've seen these kids get ignored. I've seen things happen to these kids, and they just keep going back because they want to act in faith. Hallelujah. You know, I think about acting in faith sometimes as taking care of ourselves as well. Sometimes you got to act in faith and take a step forward and say, you know what, I'm going to maybe commit my life to Christ tonight. You know what, I'm going to pray for my neighbor. I'm going to ask my neighbor to come with me. You know, I'm going to do that. Sometimes acting in faith is taking care of yourself and saying, you know what, God, I need to just be cleansed by your blood and come forward and say what I have to say to you. It says in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He'll do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Isn't that an encouragement? That I'm going to do greater things? Have we thought about that? Okay, let's go back to challenging the word. Let's look at that. You will do greater things. He will even do greater things. Okay, I'm going to do greater things. What if I press that and said, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell at least 20,000 people about who Christ is. Why can't I do that? I can do greater things than Christ. And not in a literal of saying I'm going to be better than him, but I can go and do these things. I can go and change a life. I can go share the gospel. I can go pray for healing. I can go on world missions. I could start a church. I could do this. You could do anything in the name of Jesus that brings glory to his kingdom. But are we doing it? God has really taught me in these last 3 months, you believe in me, but do you live with me and in me and through me? We have fallen back into the times in this culture sometimes where we pray and we say, God, that's about it. You're going to do the rest, right? And we expect God to do it. We got to act in faith that God's going to do those things. But you always have to be careful not to be testing God. There's a difference between acting in faith and testing God. I want you to write this down. It's not on there, but I was praying and I got this from God. It says, sometimes we test God because we doubt God. How true is that in our life? When we stand here and you're praying or you're in worship and God's like, go pray for that person. You're like, okay, I think I heard the voice of God, but I'm not sure. Let me test. Dear Lord, if that was you, I want a pink unicorn with rainbow colored hair to come down the aisle. And if that happens, I will go pray for that person. Okay, that wasn't God. Sometimes we test God because we doubt God because we don't want to do what God's asking us to do. And we start saying, well, if that was really you, God, well, I don't know how many voices I hear that speak clearly in my life that tell me to do things that are on the kingdom of God that really is not God. When I learn to know the voice of God, when I know God's voice, me denying that, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to move in what God has told me. Matthew 4, 7 says, Jesus answered him and it says, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't test him. Don't test God. You know, I love baseball. I think about when you ever get up to a pitching, I was a pitcher a little bit, when you get up to a plate, sometimes they say, you got to challenge him with a fastball. You got to try and blow something by him. Well, I don't know how many of you have tried to throw a fastball by Jesus. It doesn't really work. But then there's something that's called pitching backwards. And in baseball terms, pitching backwards means when they think they're going to throw a fastball, you throw a curveball. I think too often we're pitching backwards to Jesus. We get on the mound and we start praying and we start getting our faith and we're like, dear Lord, I'm just going to go love that person. And then you throw that curveball and be like, but only if you tell me to and what I want to do and when I'm supposed to do it and how I'm supposed to do it. And that curveball goes by. And you think, oh man, I just crossed up Jesus. I totally tricked him out because I tested him and said, you know what, if he doesn't want me to do this, then he's not going to make me do it. Let's review that statement. He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you do it. He's going to find someone else to do it. And I want the Lord to use me as much as he possibly can. I want my life to reflect who God is. I thought of this. Acting with doubting hope can lead to disappointment, but acting with faith leads to strength and joy. When I'm talking about doubting hope, is that, let me give you a story. When I, second year here, I'm on my second missions trip with the kids down in Mexico, and I believe that God can heal. I believe God can do all of those things, but it's one of those things and you say, oh yeah, I believe God can do it, but you don't really believe God can do it. You're like, yeah, Jesus, thumbs up. And that's about all you know. And I was at that point that I was like, you know, I believe God can heal, but I've never done, I've never seen it. And we're down and we're ministering to these kids doing vacation Bible school. Missionary runs over, grabs me and goes, listen, this girl right here, her ear's been hurting for the last 7 months. She's in a lot of pain. We're gonna pray for healing for her. And I'm like, uh-oh. And this moment came where I had to decide, am I going to pray with doubting hope and say, God, I hope you can do this? Am I going to pray with faith and say, God, I believe you can do this? And for that first time in my life, I said, you know what, I'm going to believe God can do this. And we prayed over that girl. Her ear was healed. She started crying. She said, I haven't been able to hear out of this ear for 7 months, and now my ear is healed. Ah, thank God for that. Don't clap for that. Thank for God. But the reason that happens, I went to that situation with faith and I said, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going with faith. And faith brings strength and joy. I love having strength and joy because I want to be joyful in the Lord. I want to believe he can do all of these things. But when I walk around with doubting hope saying, well, God, I hope you can do it. But in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't know. It's a 50-50 chance. I don't know if God can do it. Man, let's live in faith. So in the faith of Jesus Christ, says, you know what, we can do this. So if I challenge God and say, you know what, I believe in faith you will do this, whether it happens or not, your faith is strengthened and your joy is strengthened in the Lord. Some of us need to do that. I had to do it. I'd try and remind myself to do it. We got to be strengthening our joy in the Lord, but we also got to be strengthening our faith by acting in it. Too often do we act in doubt than in faith. And we say, God, you know what? I hope you can do this. And our heads are down and our hearts are low. And we say, God, I'm just going to, you know what? God's going to respond to that. He hears your prayers. But when we're strengthened in our faith and you say, you know what, God, no matter what you do, I'm going to walk through this. You come out on the other end and you go, you know what, I did walk through this and you walked with me. And I didn't doubt. And I came out on the other side. Scripture there, that I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Man, God, my Savior. I had to step back when I read that and said, man, God, my Savior. When was the last time I thanked him for that? When was the last time I said, you know what, God, you are my Savior. You're not just this thing that keeps my life going. I think the third thing we have to do is we have to challenge God with prayer. Throughout the Bible, it talks about prayer. And lift your prayers to me and lift your calls to me and I will answer them. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I want to tell you about faithful prayer. On Wednesday mornings, there's a men's prayer group, and there are men there. There's someone that there told me they've missed 3 prayer meetings in 40 years. That's faithful. There are men that are here, and there are women on Tuesday mornings that are faithful people to prayer, and they believe in it. And they're faithful to show up, and they're faithful to sit with people, and they're faithful to lift up God. If that's what you're looking for, I love a good challenge. Why don't you join us? Why don't you come on a Tuesday morning and a Wednesday morning and see what happens when you become faithful in your prayers to God? And you lift up not just yourself, but the body in this church and the people. Your life changes. It made me really think about my prayers and how I tell my prayers and how I give my prayers. And I came up with this. And this is a challenge for you. Do you tell God your prayers or do you ask him for his needs? How often when we pray, do we tell God exactly what we need? Say, God, this is what I need. I need a new jacket because this one doesn't fit right. Or God, I need this or God, I need that. How often do we get on our knees in silence and say, God, what are your needs for the day? How can I be used by you? Have we challenged God to say, you know what? I want to hear your voice and act the way you have asked me today, whether that's talking to people, whether that's praying for people. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Have you challenged God with your prayers? Because there's a difference between telling God your prayers and asking him his needs. Because his needs are greater than yours. Let's be honest. His needs are greater than yours. And God wants to challenge us, and he wants us to challenge him and say, listen, when you pray, how do you pray? Why do you pray? What are you praying? Now, I'm not telling you to stop how you're praying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't pray that way. I'm not saying don't lift up your prayers. But what I'm saying is when you lift up your prayers, are you also lifting up the Son of God? Or are you just lifting up yourself and expecting God to do it all? I found myself in my life that too often my prayers are about what I need. And I don't even consider what God has to say. I don't hear his voice. I don't hear his answers. I was struck by this verse from 1 Timothy 2:8. It says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. You know, sometimes I think my faith in God hinders on the way I pray or the way I do this or the way I do that or how I finish this or finish that. And it's taken me a long time to understand that my faith is based on my love of God and how much I truly adore him and truly worship him. And you know what? There's some of us in here that we really, really need to have our joy strengthened again because it's been a long time and it's been a long road and it's been a tough life. And there's a lot going on in our lives. I think about when I first started in ministry. down in California. And I remember starting, I was working with these rough kids. I was working in the inner city San Diego area and working with gang kids and working with things, and I had no clue what I was doing. I was a tall white kid with a bunch of other people, and I stuck out. You could look at me and say, oh, he doesn't belong here. And I remember there was a night where I lived in a college dorm because I didn't have a place to live while I was there, and the church let me live in a college dorm. And I got on my knees and I was praying, and I was like, God, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. God, I don't know what you want from me. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, I'm challenging you to tell me what to do. Within 2 minutes, I got a phone call from one of the kids from our youth group and asked me to come down, and he had a friend he wanted me to meet. So I said, all right, no, that's not a problem. You're down by the church. I'll come down and meet you. And the church is about 10 minutes from my house. I got down there. He goes, I want you to meet this guy. We're going to walk over to Washington Park. Now, Washington Park is a smaller version of Watts Park, if you've ever been to L.A. In this park, there's a walkway that goes through the middle of the park. On one side is the Bloods and one side is the Crips. And he takes me walking through this park, and I'm like, is this kid trying to get me shot tonight? And I'm walking, and he takes me to this guy, and he's this big, big, big guy. Bigger than me. Not taller, but just thick. And I was like, I'm going to die tonight. I said, Jesus, I wanted something different, and apparently you're taking me home. Walked up to this guy, and he goes, hey, I hear you've been hanging out with a couple of these kids. I was like, yeah. He goes, you know they're in my gang, and they run with me. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to die. It's that moment where your light starts flashing before your eyes. You're like, do I need to call my mom? What is it about clean underwear when you die or something like that? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. These things start running through your head. And he goes, hey, you're welcome to come back to this park anytime you want, and no one's going to bother you because I believe that you're doing the good things for these kids. Amen. And I stood there, and I took a breath, and I was like, I'm not going to die. But when you are faithful in your prayer to God and you ask to do what he is asking you to do, all of a sudden he's going to open these doors. And I got to go to that park and I could walk from side to side and rival gang members, and it was not a problem for them. It was the oddest thing I'd ever seen in a youth group to have an aisle with people staying there and kids on either side because of restraining orders or gang affiliations. And then to see God change those lives, to see these kids leave those gangs, to see those kids start to challenge God in their own life, and to give out these kids Bibles and to have them come back and read them and say, I don't understand. And man, it was just life-changing for me. And I know their lives are being changed, and I got changed through that. Hallelujah. And then I looked at what God was challenging me with this, and I said, you know what? Those kids got it. They picked up the word, and they said, if this word is real, then let me read it, and let's see what happens. Then they got their faith. He said, you know what, if I have faith in Jesus, then let's see what happens. You know what, if I'm supposed to pray, then I'm going to pray. You know, I still talk to some of those kids. 5 kids have left the gang. A couple of them are being successful outside of there. A couple of them are in jail. A couple of them are not walking with the Lord. They all went on their own path, but their lives have been changed because they took the challenge. This, I'm going to challenge God's word. If it says it's going to make me sharper and it's living and active, then let's see what happens. I have one kid. I love this kid. His name's Robert. Tough kid. Tough kid. Mom was never home. Part of a gang. Had a girlfriend. They have a kid. He got out of the gang and found me on Facebook. Of all things Facebook. Told me he's going to college. He wants to be a pastor. He's living out his faith. And I remember the time I led that kid to Christ. We were driving in my car in San Diego, driving to the mall. And he says, hey, you know, Every Sunday, when you stand up and say, you know, if anyone wants to give their life to God thing, and I was like, yeah. He goes, can I do that tonight? I mean, that was his only question. It was, let's give my life to God thing. I want to see something different. And that kid is on a path, and I just looked at this and said, man, that kid challenges God every day. He's finding his path. For some of us, we need to have strength and joy. For some of us, we need to stop doubting and using that doubting hope. For some of us, we need to step forward and say, you know, I'm going to act in faith. So that's what I'm asking. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.